The Marketing Review with Cambridge Marketing Colleges. Visit marketingcollege.com to see our courses.
Hello and welcome to The Marketing Review with Cambridge Marketing Colleges. I'm your host, Kieran Kapoor. I'm delighted to welcome back into studio Alison Thomas. Alison has been a regular on the show, and this time she returns to explain how to organise an event. So Alison, where would a company start with this?
I think the first thing to remember, Kieran, is the old adage of fail to prepare, prepare to fail. It's all in the preparation for events. What you really need to think about here is exactly what you're trying to achieve. Why are you doing this event? It's not good enough just to say, oh, let's do that. That's a really good idea. We can get loads of people here and we can have a really good time and they'll like us. No, we need to think about what are we trying to achieve? Why we're doing it? Is it about informing customers? Is it about selling product? Is it about a combination of both things? Is it about just rewarding our customers for being good and, you know, a bit of loyalty? So first of all, think about why do we want to do this? And the second thing then is to prepare. As I said, if you don't prepare, it's not going to go well. It's all in the preparation. So the first thing to do then is to really think about what do you need to do at certain different times to get the event in place. Actually create a spreadsheet, do a Gantt chart, do a what am I going to do first? Write down all the lists of things that you need to do, whether that's booking the venue, creating the events, thinking about slides for speakers or inviting people, food, drink, where's it going to be? All these different things. Write down a massive list of what you need to do and then think about what you need to do when and what things need to be done first. So, for example, you can't send out invites without actually writing down your guest list. So you'd write your guest list down first, then send out your invite. So be clear about what you need to do when and set some key milestones that you need to achieve by certain dates. And if you make sure you meet those, then you know the event is going to happen.
So one of the things I know as a marketer, I get invited to an awful lot of events.
Yeah.
And therefore, as a marketer, when I'm trying to set up an event, I worry about the fact that I've got to stand out from the crowd. So how do I encourage people to come to an event?
I think the first thing you've got to think about is exactly who you're inviting. If you've got a relationship with the people that you're inviting to the event, for example, they're customers or they are suppliers or they're people internally within the organisation, then you have a relationship already. They have an interest in actually coming. So what you would talk to them about and how you would go about getting them interested in coming would be very different from if it was a public event like an art exhibition where you're actually trying to get the public engaged, people who possibly don't know about your business, who don't know about the subject of the event itself, in which case the publicity around that would be very different than you would do if it was an internal event that you know when you know the customer who's coming.
So there's some objective settings that I need to do. Are there key things I need to do around planning for an event?
Yeah, absolutely. What you really need to think about is who do you need to actually deliver this event? It's not going to be a one-man show, is it? You can't do everything yourself. So you're probably going to have a team of people who are going to be helping you here. Depending on the size of the event, if it's a small event, you may have yourself and one assistant. But if it's a big event where you may have a big conference for 1,000 people and a big exhibition stands for exhibitors, then clearly that's going to probably need some external help to actually get things moving for you. So really think about the size of the event as well as who's actually going to be attending the event. Obviously, the bigger the event, the more complex it is and the more difficult it is to actually compile your spreadsheet that you're actually going to deliver. So give yourself more time. The bigger the event, the longer time you need to prepare. The smaller event you can probably do quite easily in a shorter space of time.
I know one of the things that I always find difficult when I'm setting up an event is to work out how often you tell people about it. There's a fine line between reminding people and encouraging them and making them feel like they're being badgered.
Sure, absolutely. Yes, I mean, this goes back to whether it's a public event or a private event. If it's a private event where you know people, then you've probably got a little bit more leeway because you've got that relationship already. You can be a little bit more aggressive in terms of like, come on, why are you not coming? You've got a bit of a relationship that you can leverage, haven't you? In that instance, you would probably have a bit more leeway to go out more often, probably 4 or 5 communication pieces to them. If it is the public, that's a little bit more difficult because you can't communicate quite as easily in a direct fashion to them. You don't know where they are, for example. You don't know their names. They don't know their addresses. So you can't send them a postal invite or you can't send, an email invite unless you buy a database to get people there. But let's say we've got a public event and we're going to use the media to actually broadcast about reported. In that case, we need to have to start to think about various different methods of communication that are going to reach them in an effective way and remind them in different times of the, perhaps different times of the month, different times of the day, in different methods. So, for example, Kieran, you may put an advert in the newspaper about this art exhibition that you're holding. You may also then put together some special invites then and say within the advert that, you know, contact us and we will send you an invite. You may do a press release that tells people about it so that the media print it and they have your web address to go through and find out more information. You may be able to put something on the radio, go and speak to the radio and they may have a what's on section and may be able to broadcast it for you. Or if it's really newsworthy, they may invite you in for an interview and you can tell people about it. Obviously, use your social media. Go out there and talk to people, tell them where it's going to be, when it's going to be, whether it costs or whether it's free, how long the exhibition is going to be lasting for. Is it one day only or a whole week, for example? So all this information, you need to be able to communicate. But if it's an external one for public, you probably want to communicate in many different ways so that they hear it in a repeated fashion. Don't worry about badgering them to death, because there is the law of diminishing returns. It gets to a point where people no longer listen and they start to ignore things that they know about or they've answered or they don't want to know about. So in some respects, you can't really overdo your promotion other than, of course, getting to the point where you're spending money that's no longer effective.
So if we come to the event now, I know you're very keen on preparation and rehearsal.
Absolutely, yes, Kieran. The more you've rehearsed an event, the better it's going to be. So it would be a good idea to set the event up the day before, if possible. If you've got speakers, then make sure that they rehearse what they're going to say. Don't let them off with, yes, 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 I know. I had a big insurance client that I did a very big conference with a few years ago, 1,000 delegates, and we had an autocue situation, which actually is quite tricky, but it sounds like it's going to be really easy because you can read something off an autocue. We insisted actually on everybody rehearsing with the autocue beforehand. The MD did not want to do this and refused to rehearse, which is a typical situation that many businesses find themselves in. When it came to the event itself, of course, he was not used to dealing with the autocue, and in fact, it made it far harder for him to actually deliver what he was going to say. So sometimes the rehearsal is actually about doing it physically on site in that situation. Similarly, if you have some backdrop or video that you're playing or slides that you're showing, make sure that you run through the process of actually going through them. Are they in the right order? Do they actually play? The last thing you want to do is press that button and the video behind you doesn't play. So yes, it's all about rehearsal, it's all about preparation, and I would suggest that anybody who's organising an event goes probably the day before when they're setting up and walks through the steps that the guests are going to take to make sure that everything is going to run smoothly from the registration through to the lunch and through to the end of the event, so they have a really good time and go away with the right messages that we want to tell them.
And it also gives you a chance to see where guests are going to be hanging about waiting for something to happen, so
yes,
you can make something interesting happen then.
Absolutely. And where the key pitfalls could be. So, for example, one of the main areas of frustration for people is when they arrive at an event and they're trying to actually go through the registration process and there's a massive, massive queue. There's nothing worse, is there? So what can we do about that? We could potentially send out the badges or the information that they need to have beforehand so that when they arrive that they are streamlined through a process, or use some electronic process to do that, or put on more people so that we've got the staff available to make sure that that process is as quick as possible.
And I know you're very keen on contingency planning.
This is really important, yes, because everything isn't going to go on, you know, as you plan on the day. So have contingencies. What happens if that video doesn't play? Make sure you've got some slides in place. What happens if a speaker doesn't turn up? Make sure that you've actually got something that could go in that slot. What happens if you've only got a few people who have arrived and actually, you know, only half of your guests have arrived? What do you then do? So try and think about the things that could potentially go wrong, and make sure that you have a contingency available to replace that so it all goes smoothly on the day.
And then last of all, I think we all have a feeling sometimes that, oh, thank goodness the event's over. But you have a great line about that, don't you?
Yes, the event doesn't end when you walk out the door. Guests will remember what happens on the day. Once they get back, they'll be talking about it. But more importantly, you need to follow up. You need to go back to them and say, did they have a good time? Are they interested in your product? Did they take out all the messages that you wanted them to take out? Will they be coming back to you, and have you got a relationship with them? So it's about extending it way beyond the actual event itself and continuing the relationship with the guests, whether they be general public, in which case you might want to take information from them, their names, addresses, and communicate again later, or if it's, you know, an internal event, then to actually thank people for coming. Either way, it's about making sure you continue the contact with them after the event.
Alison, thank you. That was very interesting.
Thank you.
The Marketing Review with Cambridge Marketing Press. Visit cambridgemarketingpress.com.